It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price, bracing for the big one.
You're getting over a foot of snow, and it's going to thump.
That is our top story at noon, a knockout blow from Old Man Winter. Parts of our listening area going to get buried in the white stuff. The flakes start tomorrow in central PA.
This is when we start to see the snow arriving, and it's going to spread pretty quickly.
Meteorologist Eric Finkenbinder says this could be the biggest December snowstorm on record for parts of the Commonwealth. The Poconos could see over 2 feet of snow by Thursday morning.
This is not really a Thursday morning storm. This is more of a Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday evening, Wednesday night storm.
Winter storm watches up for northeastern PA and parts of central and eastern New York. Forecaster Caitlin Westerholm says the Binghamton region will get pounded tomorrow night.
Wednesday afternoon and evening, that's when travel is really going to start to deteriorate, especially Wednesday night into early Thursday morning.
New York City, Philadelphia, and Washington, D.C., all in the path of this monster. The Big Apple could see over a foot of snow by Thursday. Your full forecast later in the broadcast. Bill Barr bows out. That is the other big story at noon. The U.S. Attorney General stepping down. Fox News, Rich Edson.
The source says President Trump is irritated with his attorney general for failing to disclose the department's investigation into President-elect Joe Biden's son, Hunter, during the campaign. And Barr's acknowledgement the department found no widespread voter fraud.
That's Rich Edson reporting. Former South Carolina congressman and federal prosecutor Trey Gowdy says Barr's biggest challenge was navigating a polarized media.
Bill Barr was the AG twice, and if you ask him what's the biggest difference in the two times you were AG, he would mention the polarization of the country, and then he would mention the way the media covers it. I mean, there was not a word of criticism about Bill Barr the first time he was the AG. That is a hard job in the best of circumstances.
Bill Barr will step down December 23rd, about a month before the inauguration. Joe Biden addressing the nation last night after the Electoral College certified the 2020 vote.
Our democracy pushed, tested, threatened, proved to be resilient, true and strong.
Biden criticizing President Trump and other top Republicans for not accepting the results of the election.
The integrity of our elections remains intact. And now it's time to turn the page, as we've done throughout our history.
Joe Biden says President Trump's continued efforts to challenge the results need to stop. But South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham says for the sake of democracy, they need to continue.
He may fall short, but he's shedding a light on the problem with mail-in voting. Social media companies and mail-in voting will destroy conservatism if we don't push back.
Graham says this might be the only opportunity Republicans have to challenge the results of any election if things do not change when it comes to how Americans vote. A vaccine rollout could not stop the U.S. from reaching another grim milestone in the fight against COVID-19. More than 300,000 deaths from the disease.
The positives are it's almost over. The negatives are it's going to be a tough haul for at least the next 90 days. We're going to be at capacity, over capacity.
That doctor works in the ER in Phoenix and says COVID cases at an all-time high there. 600 locations across the country will get the COVID vaccine today. This nurse from Madison, Wisconsin, rolling up her sleeve for the shot.
I want to inspire people, especially the patients that look like me and I take care of every day, that it's okay to get vaccinated. It's safe.
Health Secretary Dr. Alex Azar says mitigation efforts must continue even while a vaccine rollout takes place.
We want everybody that's here now to be here for next year's holiday season. So now is not the time to let our guard down.
Moderna's vaccine could get the green light by the end of this week. Dr. Nicole Sapphire is the author of Make America Healthy Again. She says President Trump deserves a lot of credit for Operation Warp Speed.
This has just been an incredible, critical moment in our fight against COVID-19 to see the vaccinations not only be distributed, but they were actually given to healthcare workers across the country yesterday. I couldn't tell you what a relief this is to healthcare workers everywhere.
Dr. Sapphire says even with the COVID-19 vaccine, it's going to take at least until the spring before we start to see anything that resembles life before the pandemic. As businesses across New York State struggle to stay open amid a pandemic, Governor Andrew Cuomo throwing himself a birthday party this week. The online event features wealthy Hollywood donors forking over up to $10,000 to take part.
How about they take that money, that fundraising money, his elite friends, okay? And he gives it to the small businesses.
Irene Sidorakis owns a diner in Brooklyn, New York that's been shut down for months by Governor Cuomo.
He needs money. He hasn't lost a paycheck, not one paycheck. And my pockets are dry. I cannot pay anything. He is killing me. Do people realize that this man is killing us? He is killing us. We need to stand up and say no. No more. Enough is enough.
The online birthday bash for Governor Andrew Cuomo will feature Hollywood heavyweights like Robert De Niro and Ben Stiller. Meantime, the governor threatening to shut down New York City for the second time since the pandemic began. Still to come this Tuesday, bracing for the big one, the latest on the winter storm, COVID cases out of control in the Commonwealth, and another lockdown could be coming in New York.
Good afternoon. All eyes are on the potential of a major winter storm in parts of our region. Come later tomorrow into Thursday, I'll be back with the complete forecast in about 10 minutes.
Okay, Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Tuesday, December 15th. The blockbuster snowstorm arrives tomorrow. It's going to impact parts of our listening area. Winter storm watches up for parts of central and eastern New York and northeastern PA.
Pennsylvania along the I-81 corridor, no matter what. I'm talking 16 to 24 inches, maybe over 2 feet of snow in some spots.
Forecaster Lonnie Quinn says this snowstorm could set records in parts of the Commonwealth.
From Philadelphia to New York to Providence, about 5 to 10 inches, but right outside the city. I'm talking 15, 20 miles outside the suburbs, see a foot or more, maybe up to 16 inches. Of snow.
Scranton and Binghamton, Allentown and Harrisburg, you are all under the gun. Parts of the Poconos and northeastern PA expected to get well over 2 feet of snow. The flakes will start flying tomorrow afternoon. Now to COVID. The situation in Pennsylvania, dire to say the least. Health Secretary Dr. Rachel Levine says the state saw more than 60,000 new cases of COVID last week. And the worst is yet to come.
We need to get through what could be a very challenging winter before the vaccines are widely available.
Levine says it could be spring or even summer before the general population in Pennsylvania gets the COVID vaccine. Until then, the Keystone State has some very dark months ahead.
Mitigation now is more important than ever, especially during these winter months.
Levine says the state's positivity rate now over 16%. Last week, Governor Wolf announced new mitigation efforts that involved banning all indoor dining, sidelining high school sports, and limiting public gatherings. Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson.
Certainly our governor of Pennsylvania truly is the Grinch who stole Christmas for so many people, their livelihoods. They've been struggling all year long, and now just weeks before Christmas to have him do this is just heartless.
The lockdowns continue through January 4th in Pennsylvania. In western New York, a gym owner says Governor Cuomo's green lighting of orange zone businesses doesn't go far enough. Yesterday, Cuomo said gyms in the orange zone can open, but only at 25% capacity. Amy Buemi owns Catalyst Fitness near Buffalo.
It's just another punch in the gut. He has hurt our entire industry hugely.
Buemi's gym, unlike many others, has been able to weather the COVID storm and reopen despite the constant restrictions coming from Albany.
A lot of other smaller facilities had to shut their doors for good because they couldn't take the open-close.
Cuomo says the risk of spreading COVID at gyms is minimal compared to other businesses. The governor says he never sexually harassed a former aide. Lindsay Boylan made that claim in a series of tweets over the weekend. Cuomo addressed the controversy at his daily COVID-19 press briefing yesterday.
It's not true. Look, I fought for and I believe a woman has the right to come forward and express her opinion and express issues and concerns that she has. But it's just not true.
New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik has called for an independent investigation into Governor Cuomo. The Salvation Army of Central New York says the pandemic has increased the need for food, clothes, and emergency shelter just ahead of Christmas.
A lot of people that have never had to come here before have been here. But it's a great, you know, feeling knowing that you can help them out, especially young mothers come in for diapers.
Amanda Crum says their food pantry is seeing three times the amount of traffic. Christina Thornton heads up the organization's emergency services program.
People needing food, people needing help with housing and rental assistance. So I think those calls come in a lot more often, and they need to be answered right away because it's not something that can just wait until the next day.
Thornton says everything is more of an emergency these days because of COVID-19. Good one last night. Did you see it? Sonny did. Your two-minute drill.
Let's talk about that unbelievable Monday night game between the Ravens and the Browns last night. Lamar Jackson leaves the game with cramps. He's replaced by Trayson McSorley, but Trace is then injured. Who do they turn to? Trailing by 1 point, fourth and five. Here comes Lamar Jackson again out of the locker room. Baker Mayfield said, oh, no.
It was like the scene out of a movie. You know, I hate that for Trace McSorley, praying that he's okay. But as soon as he went down, you could see Lamar trotting back out on the field. It was, you know, like, geez.
And with that fourth and five.
Jackson trying to throw for it, and he's got it. Marquise Brown hangs on to the football and scores.
Ravens take a 42-35 lead, but that's a lot of time for Baker Mayfield, and here they come.
Keep taking. It's Hunt again. Makes a move. First down. Touchdown.
That tied the game up at 42 with a minute four to play, but they gave Lamar Jackson enough time to set it up for Justin Tucker from 55 yards.
And Justin Tucker has done it for Baltimore. There are 2 seconds left on the clock.
The Ravens would add a safety to beat the Browns 47-42. Lamar said he had to do it for the team and for Trace McSorley.
And then I see him go down, and I'm like, we got to start. Nah, like, we just got to go out there. Nah, and I start running out there. Kev running with me. It's fourth down. And offensive line blocked their tail off, and our guys just made great catches, and we came out with the victory.
Baltimore moved to 8-5. Playoff hopes still alive. The Browns fall 9-4. College football, Oregon taking Washington's spot in Friday's Pac-12 championship game. The conference declared the Huskies ineligible to play due to ongoing COVID-19 issues within their program. The Ducks will take on USC Trojans for the Pac-12 title Friday in Los Angeles. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, Old Man Winter about to deliver a knockout blow, the very latest on the winter storm, plus 20 points in the final 4 minutes of a high school boys basketball game. Meet today's hometown hero and the Buffalo Bills, winning on and off the field this season.
On Chuck Colson's desk was a sign, faithfulness, not success. We don't always have to choose between faithfulness and success, but if you do, choose faithfulness. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. A few years ago, a popular Christian singer, even though it wasn't Christmas, ended her set by leading the audience in O Come All Ye Faithful. By the time the song was over and the crowd's attention returned to the stage, the singer was gone. Even though it was her concert, not a church service, the singer was trying to point people to God, not herself. And when it was time for her well-earned applause, she was out of sight. A few weeks ago, news broke that a young popular pastor from Hillsong Church in New York City had been fired. Carl Lentz is known for hanging out with celebrities, throwing so-called church house parties, and dressing in expensive, stylish, and even provocative ways. On Instagram, Lentz confessed that he had been unfaithful in his marriage. It's a remarkably sad story, and it's certainly not the only one we've heard recently of a pastor or ministry leader found guilty of a moral failing. Both from observation and from Jesus' teaching, it's clear that fame and wealth both attracts temptation and can even cultivate corruption. The main lesson for all of us, stay accountable, stay humble. And there, but for the grace of God, go I. But there's also a lesson here about the relentless pursuit of relevance. When pastors and ministry leaders flirt with celebrity, Christianity becomes a brand. When that happens, the surrounding noise of marketing and brand building drowns out the central promise of a changed life. Suddenly, the metrics of a successful ministry shift from being faithful to the number of likes, shares, and dollars. About the same time that I read this sad, heartbreaking news about Carl Lentz, I read about the passing of a man that I've known since I was young. Lee Stone spent decades as a volunteer girls basketball coach at the little Christian school I attended. He was also the pastor of a small little country Baptist church in Virginia. And for 34 years, he led the local rescue mission in town, helping men and women, often the same men and women over and over again, who were down and out because of alcoholism, addiction, and homelessness, and other things. Lee Stone was a quiet man. He walked with a limp as long as I knew him. He was certainly no celebrity. I can't say for sure, but I would be willing to bet an awful lot of money that he never once owned an Instagram account. However, what was clear, both from his obituary and from the tributes that literally poured in on social media, Lee Stone deeply loved and was deeply loved by many people. He left his community better without ever once building his platform. Lee's legacy, the local newspaper read, is one of serving God with the compassion of Jesus Christ. His impact and his legacy was quietly built on a lifetime of faithfulness. He survived by his lovely wife, to whom he was married, forget this, 65 years, his four children, his 23 grandchildren, and I know an awful lot of great-grandchildren as well. The contrast between these two stories, one which made national headlines and one that only made the local paper's obituary section, was stark. I'm sure that he wasn't perfect, but Mr. Stone chose a life largely insulated from the temptation to entitlement or self-worship or fame, but his impact was incredible. Nonetheless, I want to be like Lee Stone. Now, I don't think I'm old enough to offer much life or ministry advice, but I will confidently advise anyone right now who are called to serve the Lord as a pastor or a speaker or a ministry leader. If you're given the choice between the way of a celebrity pastor or the way of Lee Stone, choose the way of Lee Stone. Our talent and our drive and even our charisma can at times write checks that our character just can't cash. We should err instead on the side of a quiet life, a faithful life. We should leave the stage before the applause starts. Because after all, our Father, who sees in secret, is the only audience that matters anyway. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
We are coming up on 17 minutes past the hour, a Tuesday afternoon, and we got a big winter storm coming. Let's get to it. Meteorologist Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. We'll have a mix of clouds and sunshine with high temperatures in the upper 20s to the lower 30s. Tonight we'll go down to the teens, partly cloudy, and a few flurries near Lake Ontario. Then tomorrow cloudy, a few flurries near Lake Ontario early. Steady snow reaches much of Pennsylvania during the midday and afternoon hours. High temps, 20s and low 30s. Heaviest snow will be tomorrow night into Thursday morning, more than a foot in parts of central and eastern Pennsylvania, the eastern southern tier of New York. Amounts taper quickly to the north and west. Later Thursday, some clearing with high temps near 30. Winds will accompany the snow and produce some blowing and drifting and poor travel, especially Wednesday night, Thursday morning across central and eastern Pennsylvania and the eastern southern tier of New York.
All right, Kevin Williams, appreciate the heads up. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Tuesday, December 15th. The nor'easter will impact parts of our listening area starting tomorrow afternoon. Forecaster Lonnie Quinn says parts of Pennsylvania could be measuring snowfall amounts in feet, not inches, by Thursday morning.
The numbers that I see playing true are going to put big numbers down for, you know, Pennsylvania along the I-81 corridor, no matter what. I'm talking 16 to 24 inches.
The Poconos in northeastern Pennsylvania expected to get over 2 feet of snow from this storm. And in New York City, the storm expected to end a snow drought in the Big Apple. Reporter Bob Brown has more.
It's been almost 5 years since New York City has seen a major snowstorm. Last winter, the region only received 4.8 inches of snow. Forecasters say Wednesday's potential snowstorm is expected to bring up to a foot of snow in the city and 12 to 18 inches in spots north and west of the city.
That's Bob Brown reporting from New York City this afternoon. Philadelphia and Boston expected to be shoveling the white stuff, too, before the week is out. Winter storm watches go up tomorrow. Will last right on through your Thursday. Well, despite the vaccine rollout this week, the COVID-19 pandemic continues to take its toll. Over 300,000 Americans have now died from the disease. Correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti is in Southern California.
In California, hospitalizations are up almost 250% in the last month. At USC Medical Center in Los Angeles, capacity is falling fast.
This morning, we had no more ICU beds.
Over the last week, the U.S. has averaged more than 2,200 COVID-related deaths per day. People like 86-year-old David Childress. His wife of 66 years, Judy, was by his hospital bed.
So many families don't get to do that, and they're all alone, and I was blessed. I was just so blessed.
That is Jonathan Vigliotti reporting from Southern California today. New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik is calling for an independent investigation into Governor Andrew Cuomo following allegations of sexual harassment from a former aide. The governor denies the charges, and the mainstream media has given this story zero coverage. Here's media critic Joe Concha.
Let's say this was a prominent conservative, okay? Let's say Governor Ron DeSantis was accused of sexual harassment. Do you think that ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN wouldn't go the full Avenatti and cover that wall to wall?
Former Cuomo aide Lindsay Boylan claims the governor made inappropriate comments about her appearance many times over several years. Joe Biden addressed the nation last night just hours after the Electoral College certified the 2020 vote.
Our democracy pushed, tested, threatened, proved to be resilient.
And Biden says it's time for President Trump to accept the results of the election.
Time and again, President Trump's lawyers presented arguments to state officials, state and federal courts.
President Trump says he's pressing ahead with his legal challenge to the 2020 vote. Congress set to certify the Electoral College vote. That'll happen on January 6th. Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson is concerned about the integrity of future elections in the Commonwealth. He says lawmakers have got to find a way to rein in early voting.
Early voting is just like stopping a football game at halftime. You know, you need all four quarters to make a sound decision in an election.
The congressman says Governor Wolf, Secretary of State Buchvar, and Attorney General Shapiro hijacked historic voting reforms. And it's caused a lot of folks to doubt the election results.
They made abusive changes that they weren't legally allowed to do. And unfortunately, the court stood by and allowed this to occur.
A recent poll from Politico shows 7 in 10 Republicans do not trust the election results, which were certified yesterday by the Electoral College. U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr has handed in his resignation letter. Correspondent Ben Tracy says his departure was amicable.
Attorney General Bill Barr was not forced out of his job. His resignation letter is a full-page tribute to President Trump. Barr writes of the president's unprecedented achievements in the face of a partisan onslaught.
Bill Barr should have stepped up.
But lately, President Trump has been upset that Barr said the Department of Justice found no evidence of widespread fraud in the 2020 election. Barr also followed Justice Department procedure when he did not reveal a federal investigation into Hunter Biden during the campaign. Pain, but it clearly angered the president.
Bill Barr, I believe, not believe, I know, had an obligation to set the record straight.
Barr's resignation came after the two met at the White House on Monday. In a tweet, President Trump said, "Our relationship has been a very good one, and that Barr has done an outstanding job."
Ben Tracy reporting from Washington this afternoon. Car makers are getting better grades for lighting the way without blinding other drivers. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety's David Harkey.
We've been very pleased to see how automakers have progressed to meet the consumer need.
Harkey says a new round of testing shows a huge improvement in today's headlights on automobiles. Well, the shortest day of the year is almost here, and Family Life's Brandon Dixon tells us about a rare celestial event to help usher in the winter season.
Monday, December 21st will be the shortest day of the year, and that's good news for those that like to keep their eyes on the skies. Jupiter and Saturn, the solar system's largest planets, will line up almost perfectly to look like a bright double planet in the night sky. The two will be so close that they'll appear to be touching, which, because the event is landing on a holiday week, many are calling it the Christmas star. December 21st will be the closest Jupiter and Saturn have appeared since March 4th, 1226. If you're having trouble spotting the gas giant, several smartphone apps can be used to identify them. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Okay, Brandon, coming up on 25 minutes past the hour, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Jason McElwain from Rochester, New York. 14 years ago, he scored 20 points in the final 4 minutes of a high school boys basketball game. But that's just the beginning of his story. Take us back to 2006. What happens next?
So I get subbed in the game with 4:19 left in the game in February 15th of 2006. And everyone's going nuts. First shot in the corner, I get, I airball it. And then with 3:12 left, I hit my first three. And then I hit another two more in a row. And then this one, I hit three more in a row. And I scored 20 points in 4 minutes with 6 3-point shots.
So you're playing Spencerport. Did they figure out maybe they should probably guard you?
A lot of the shots I shot were pretty much wide open.
What's going, I mean, I played basketball, and we all have our hot streaks, but I have never seen a kid go off like that. What's going through your head?
Well, in that juncture, I was just, what was going through me was, it was one of those games where any shot I shot that night was going to go in. It was like a big old juice bucket.
Yeah. Like throwing a penny in the ocean.
Yeah.
You were diagnosed with
autism at the age of three.
At the age of three. So were you highly functioning?
Well, I didn't speak till I was 7 years old.
So were you expecting to go into that game that night?
My senior year, coach said he wants to give me a senior gift by letting me suit up on senior night. And he goes, I can't promise any playing time.
The game of your life, and of course ESPN did a series on that, and you won an ESPY award in 2006. For a while there, if you were following sports, you were in the spotlight. You were the headline story for much of 2006. How did you personally handle the instant fame?
Well, the biggest thing that I, the biggest message that I kept hearing was always give back to your community. And now I'm a grief bus attendant for my own school district. I coached for 16 years, and to give back to a community that gave to me, and to give back to give the game back and to give sports back to inspire the youth. And then when I met Kobe Bryant back in 2006 at the ESPYs, a miracle won the ESPY over him. He said, once you hit success, you try to make more success out of it.
So you were able to meet a lot of famous people, not just in sports, but in politics. Former President Bush. You mentioned Kobe Bryant, the late Kobe Bryant. Is there anyone in particular of all the people you met?
Nobody knows this, but I've met not just President Bush. I've met our current president, Donald Trump, before he became president. And he's one of my favorite guys I've ever met.
Why do you say that?
He was really nice to me. He cares about kids with disabilities. He's a very honest with you, straightforward. He was just a blessing to meet. He said that was one of his most inspiring moments, was watching my game. And I was like, wow.
You fast forward to this past summer, and this has been a unique year, to say the least, with the pandemic shutting down our lives, a lot of kids going through deep depression, high school sports for a lot of kids put on hold, and just a lot of things happening. But this past summer, you became a born-again Christian. Share with our listeners how that happened.
During back in March when everything started, I lost pretty much all my whole livelihood of coaching, and I was just missing the interaction with kids. and working every day. We're going through a rough time because there's so many people right now that are living in fear instead of faith. And my pastor asked me one day, have you ever asked Jesus to save you personally? And my answer to that was no. And I went through the whole process, and May 31st, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and then I was rebaptized as a born-again Christian on June 28th of this year.
What was that feeling like?
It was the best decision I've ever made in my entire life.
Better feeling than scoring 20 points in 4 minutes?
Absolutely.
You've got a fascinating story, J-Mac, and I love going back and watching that game again. Do you still play basketball today?
I coach basketball, and I'm a skills trainer as well. I just got out of the gym working out 2 kids.
What's your message to that young person right now? The days that we are living in, they see no hope. What's your message to that kid right now?
God is in control. You never give up. You never fail. Greatness is earned, not given. The harder you work, the luckier you get. Attitudes are contagious. Is yours worth catching?
Jason McElwain from Rochester, New York, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes.
The big show comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. We'll have a mix of clouds and sunshine with high temperatures in the upper 20s to the lower 30s. Tonight we'll go over down to the teens, partly cloudy. A few flurries near Lake Ontario. Then tomorrow, cloudy. A few flurries near Lake Ontario early. Steady snow reaches much of Pennsylvania during the midday and afternoon hours. High temps, 20s and low 30s. Heaviest snow will be tomorrow night into Thursday morning. More than a foot. More than a foot. In parts of central and eastern Pennsylvania, the eastern southern tier of New York, amounts taper quickly to the north and west. Later Thursday, some clearing with high temps near 30. Winds will accompany the snow and produce some blowing and drifting and poor travel, especially Wednesday night, Thursday morning, across central and eastern Pennsylvania and the eastern southern tier of New York.
All right, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. Finally at noon, well, the Buffalo Bills aren't just winning on the field this season, they're winning off it, too. Couple of players making Christmas a whole lot brighter this year for a young boy from Buffalo. Family Life's Dee Haley has the story.
Two Buffalo Bills gave an 8-year-old Buffalo boy a special gift this year. Jackson Delude was born without fully developed legs, and his Christmas wish was the ability to run. Bills players Matt Milano and Gabe Davis teamed up to make that happen. They arranged for Jackson and his mom to fly to Florida to get him fitted for 2 prosthetic legs and then a trip to Disney to test them out.
I couldn't run and jump around like I can in these.
According to Disney Magic Moments, Jackson told his mom that his cheeks hurt from smiling so much. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
Our cheeks hurt from smiling, too. Thank you, Dee. That is the world we live in this Tuesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.